We are looking at the book of Psalms, and today we have come to Psalm 88, and let me read to you the first verse, including the introduction, the heading, Psalm 88 and verse 1. A song, a psalm of the sons of Korah, to the chief musician, set to Malech Lenov, a composition of Hermon the Ezraite. O Lord God of my salvation, I have cried out day and night before you. I have cried out day and night before you. And our subject is faith that holds on in the dark. And I was just looking in this Bible, it says prayer. The heading of that psalm in this King James Bible is prayer in the face of death. So David is known as such a sad and a sorrowful psalm. It's a psalm of complaint. It hardly sounds like a song at all. This title, Malech Lenov, it indicates a severe inward struggle, a struggle of mental anguish, a struggle of anxiety of soul, grievous distress of mind. And here we are going to learn that the sorrows of one saint become the lessons to others. Truth learned by experience is extremely valuable. And David had learned these truths by experience. It's considered the most gloomy psalm, the saddest psalm of all psalms, a lament, a dirge. It begins and ends in hopelessness. There's only one ray of light in the whole psalm, and that's the first verse. And the first verse is, O Lord, God of my salvation, I have cried out to you day and night. And this is what David does in this terrible distress that he's in. He pours out his sorrow to the Lord, to Jehovah, the God in whom he trusts. And he says, I ask you to save me, because, Lord, you are a saving God. He is my God and my Savior. And David may be in great sorrow, but still he has confidence in prayer, because he says, God of my salvation. His tears may be flowing, his tears may be pouring out of his eyes, but they have not damped his resolve to pray. We see a deep and an urgent and an earnest prayer, earnestness of soul poured out in prayer. And we see that it's personal, because he says, I have prayed, I have prayed. And there's perseverance in his prayer, for the scripture says he is praying day and night. Day and night I have prayed. And he prays, O Lord of my salvation. And in this title that he gives to the Lord, we see hope. He uses this title of real hope to address the Lord. He's in great darkness, he's in great affliction, but as long as he sees a ray of hope, as long as he sees a glimmer of light, he can be sure of salvation. And it's the same for us. It's the same for you and me. As long as we can see God as our Savior, it's not totally midnight. All is not lost. There is hope. And for us, when we are in dark trouble, it's a sign of sure faith that we cry out to the Lord in our deepest and darkest troubles. Turn to our Savior, to God our Savior, the Lord of my salvation. Do you know that the darkest night, you can go out into the night air, and on a very dark night, if you look up, that dark sky reveals so many bright and shining stars. In fact, the darker the night is, the more stars you will see, and the more clearly you will see the stars. Just look up. Look up at the stars, and you will see the night sky filled with many stars. You won't even be able to count them all. They are so many, so numerous. And in a sense, when the downcast believer in their darkest hour looks up in that terrible darkness, they see the lights, the promises of God shining as bright stars. Oh, you say, I don't have faith. But the Bible says, even if you have faith the size of a mustard seed faith is enough. Mustard seed faith can look up and see the promises and take them by prayer and make them their own. Look up at the light. Look up and open God's eternal word. Don't only look up. Open the word and look in the word, and you will see the eternal promises of God, bright and many. And David said, I have cried day and night before you. He hadn't let the heaviness that he was experiencing, the affliction and the torment of mind, he hadn't allowed that to snuff out prayer. Let me just show you how deep David's affliction was. Under great pressure, his soul is full of trouble. And the Bible says that until it can hold no more, it's filled to the overflow, trouble all around him, and trouble of the worst kind. Well, we know that the worst kind of trouble is heart trouble, soul trouble. And his heart was filled with painful trouble. He sees himself as one that's half dead. He's counted as with them that go down to the pit. He feels that he's got no strength. And also, he knows that he's done wrong. And he knows that this affliction that I'm experiencing now, it must be from God. And he perceives God's wrath, yet he's actually misinterpreting the wrath of God, as we shall see later. And then in verse 6, thou hast laid me in the pit in darkness. He's in terrible darkness. Thy fierce wrath goes over me. That's what he thought. Your wrath goes over me, God. Terrors have cut me off. And then on top of this, so he has cruel friends who have shunned him. Verse 8, thou hast made my friends abhor me, hate me, and see me as a despicable thing. Verse 18, companion and neighbor, you have taken away from me. But listen, even in all these things, even when he is so low and so down, even in this utmost grief, even although his soul dies 1,000 deaths a day, yet as long as there's prayer and trust in a God who graciously answers prayer, there is still hope. As I mentioned, his prayer was personal. It was intensely sincere, intensely earnest. His prayer was actually more like the cry from a child to a distressing a distressed child to a loving father asking for compassion and pity. And we must be careful not to let the business of the day, nor the weariness and the struggles of night, to put an end to heartfelt cries. And put in a prayer like this from the heart. Cry to Abba Father is never in vain. Evil may be all around us. It may be internal afflictions. It may be anxiety of mind. Yes, it may be very hard. But even in this hard situation, it is this hard situation is transformed to good when it drives us to prayer. You see, when we face difficulties and we run to the throne of God, there is good that comes. David says, I have cried out day and night before you. His aim was towards God. His aim was to you, my God, my Savior. He's looking to the Lord. He's looking to the God of salvation. And prayer must be directed to heaven, to our God of salvation. David had no eye, no hope in hoping that the Pharisees would hear of his terrible situation and help him. He didn't look to men, and he fixed his hope upon the Lord alone, and some trust in only what they can see. And in Psalm 20 and verse 7, we know the verse says, some trust in chariots, some trust in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. David trusted the Lord his God. Let my prayer come before you. Incline your ear to my cry. Man can't help me, Lord. Success comes from the Lord. Help comes from the Lord who hears and answers prayer. My help comes from the Lord, says David, maker of heaven and earth. When he hears, he will help me. He will be very gracious to the sound of my cry. And I found a beautiful verse in Isaiah 30 and verse 19. Isaiah 30, 19. For the people shall dwell in Zion at Jerusalem. You shall weep no more. He shall be very gracious to you at the sound of your cry. When he hears it, he will answer you. Oh, what a tremendous promise. David is saying in verse 2, let my prayer come before you. Incline your ear to me. The cry was not just a cry, it was a distinct prayer addressed to God. And he says, incline your ear to my faint and distant cry. Bow down thine ear to me. Deliver me speedily. Be thou my strong rock, for in a house of defense to save me. And we see in verse 9, David cried a great many tears, tears by reason of affliction. He says, Lord, I have called. I've called upon you daily. I've stretched out my hands in prayer. My heart is broken, Lord. I look to thee. He continues praying, even although there seemed to be no answer. And from this we learn that the true believer never gives up praying. It's part of our nature. It's part of who we are. We must pray. I remember reading in a book by E.M. Bounds that as the lungs need oxygen, They must have oxygen. The believer needs prayer. The believer must have prayer. And it's part of who we are. We must pray. As a crying child stretches out hands to mother, so this afflicted child of God, David, he cries before the Lord. His eyes ran with tears. His voice cried aloud. His hands were lifted up. His heart was crushed. His whole soul prayed. And the old writers say, this was prayer indeed. This is prayer in truth, with your whole heart, your whole soul, crying out before the Lord. And in verse 13, but unto thee I have cried, O Lord. I have continued to pray for help. So David, he has continued to pray for help. And this is what true Christians do. They continue in prayer. Even although the Lord seemed to delay in answering, David doesn't stop praying. He says, I will be up before the sun comes up. I will make my petition to you. And he's diligent in his prayer. Verse 14. Now comes a question. Verse 14. Lord, why castest thou off my soul? Why hidest thou thy face from me? Why do you hide your face from me, Lord? Why is the severe treatment given to me when I can remember days of brightness, when I can remember days when you smiled upon me? And David is putting these questions to the Lord. And we too can put these questions to the Lord. It's not unholy, or it's not being over familiar with God. This is holy boldness. This is true faith, which we may lawfully exercise. And we are really asking, Lord, that you may graciously remove that which is provoking you to anger, that which is causing you to contend with us, that you would make it known to us, the cause of it, so that we can deal with it. Make known to us, O Lord, the hindrances which obstruct our prayer. And that's what David is praying. And what we must do, we must ask the Lord to remove them, to remove all things that provoke his disfavor. Let us plead for their removal. Hear, this is David, hear my prayer, Lord God. And David had been praying day and night, but he didn't get an answer. And the old writers say, those that are careless and will not ask for forgiveness and cleansing, and they are careless to turn from the obstacles which block prayer, they will not receive answers. Well, let us never have a cold heart. Let us never have an unrepentant heart. That is a heart, for sure, that will never get answers to prayer. I felt that we should look at one or two of these hindrances to prayer. And what would these hindrances to prayer be? And I just got down three or four. And number one, I will just go through them very briefly without expounding much. One of the hindrances to prayer is the way we treat our spouse, our loved one, our husband or our wife. And the way we treat our wife or our husband can hinder our prayers. The scripture says in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7, giving honor to the wife as the weaker vessel, and being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. So if there is strife in the home, fighting between husband and wife, prayers will be hindered. Search me, O Lord. Know if there's any evil or wicked way in me. I confess it to you. I repent of it. I ask you to cleanse me. Number two, when believers regard iniquity in their hearts, the Lord will not hear. The Lord will not hear. Psalm 66 and verse 18. And another point, number three, it may be unwillingness to forgive someone that has upset you or hurt you. And the scripture is clear, even bringing a gift to the altar requires that we first be reconciled to our brother before we offer it. Matthew 5, 23 and 24. So we must be a people who are quick to forgive. Unforgiveness and bitterness will hinder our prayer life. And of course, we know the next one, all of us, very well. Number four, one who asks in faith without doubting receives, but a doubter should not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. James chapter 1, verse 6 and 7. So these are some hindrances that we must deal with, like David. We must boldly ask the Lord to reveal to us, Lord, if there are things in my life, show me, O Lord, show me. Psalm 88, verse 6, David is saying, Thou hast laid me in the lowest pit, in darkness, in the deeps. All our afflictions seem so hard. You know, when we are afflicted, when we are struggling in the darkness, it seems so extreme. I'm laid in the lowest pit. Nobody suffers like me. And we are so confused. It's so unexplainable. We just don't know what's happening. It's so humbling. Oh, I've been brought so very low. I don't think anyone has been brought as low as I have been brought. And we think it's so severe. The wrath of God presses upon me heavily. I'm overwhelmed. I'm pressed down by all God's waves. That's what David was saying. I'm overwhelmed. I'm pressed down. And this is what David, he had this perception that the wrath of God was against him. But in reality, what are the afflictions? Even if we think the afflictions that we are enduring are very severe, they are not as extreme as we would think. For example, they are not extreme, but they are light. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 17. For our light affliction, let me read it again. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a more exceeding weight of glory. So, in our affliction, we must understand that it's not forever. It's a light affliction, and it's working something for eternity, for the weight of glory. And they're not unexplainable. They're not meaningless. They're not in confusion. But my afflictions are ordered by God. You say, that can't be right. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 11. Who worketh all things after the counsel of his will. He worketh all things after the counsel of his will. Oh, but my affliction has brought me so low, so low. Well, when we are humbled, we will be exalted in due time. The way up is the way down. And that's 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 6. And the reality is, it's not as severe as we think. Our afflictions, they are done in love and they are done in gentleness. And we see this in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 6 and 10 and 11. Whom the Lord loveth, he disciplines. Who the Lord loveth, he chastiseth. He chastiseth us for our profit. So what we feel as waves of wrath and affliction are actually waves of mercy. Waves of mercy upon us, as God our Father can't leave us the way we are. And when we make inquiry in reverence, why do you cast off my soul? Why do you hide your face from me? And that should lead us to searching our hearts, to self-examination, and then sorrowful confession of sin, sincere self-denial. And then in due time, there will be gracious restoration of grace and fellowship to the Lord. Good men are often tried. Good disciples, his sons, are tried. We should not misjudge God's dealings with us. We could quote and keep in mind the well-known scripture, Romans 8, 28. And we know that all things work together for the good of those who love God and to those who are called according to his purpose. Psalm 88 teaches us to continue believing God even although we don't see answers. It teaches believers to trust God even if there's no relief, to pray even if there are no answers, to endure by faith alone. When circumstances don't seem to change, I continue by faith, not by sight and not by feeling. And we learn from this example that we should never let go of God. The psalm starts with a glimmer of hope, and then from beginning to end, it is darkness. And it ends in darkness. And David has no friends standing with him, only darkness. What must he do? What must we do if we feel like this? And there's a wonderful verse, Isaiah 50 and verse 10. Who among you fears the Lord? Who obeys the voice of his servant? Who walks in darkness and has no light? Is that us? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and rely upon his God. Let him trust in the name of the Lord and rely upon his God. And we have seen how hard and how difficult David's situation is. And yet he's still praying. His hope is still in the God of his salvation. And he refuses to let go. And the example of the psalmist is to be our example. It is for our instruction. Never let go of faith in God. It's true that faith may not always sing. There may not always be a song in the heart. But faith never lets go. Faith clings and holds on to God. It is a trust that is grounded on the finished work of the cross. It is hope that is anchored upon the resurrection. And this is the kind of faith that will endure to the very end. Amen. Let's pray together. our Lord and our God of our salvation, our God who never fails, who ensures that all things work together for the good of them that love you. We thank you, Lord, that even when we feel down, even when we think there's no light and no hope, you are still working, O Lord. Your waves of mercy are going over us. You're working in us the wait for eternal glory. O Lord, we trust you. The things that are in our lives that are unpleasing to thee, we ask you, Lord, to remove them. We desire to be a people who have your smile upon us, who have prayers that are answered. We desire close and intimate fellowship with you. We acknowledge you are Abba, Father, our God and our Savior, our God who is full of loving kindness and tender mercies. Have mercy upon us, Lord, and look upon us and lift us and help us to get our eyes firmly fixed upon you. We ask this in the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.